Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, another Sports Tonight brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters, broadcasting live from Tropicana Field and soon to be Patty's Bar. I got to get my drink, Roger. Frank, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good.
That sounded like it was a casino.
I think he is, but I think
everything on the Jersey Shore is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Tommy. Tonight's program is going to be dedicated. Tonight's program is dedicated to a fallen soldier.
So Patty's going to set me up up here. So
Ambulus, a New York Fire Department, who's lost his life trying to save some children in a tenement fire in New York in the Williamsburg area on Monday evening. So our condolences.
Don and I have been reading about that in the Post back a while ago. That's a very sad story. Two young children that were lost their father because of that fire. And, you know, on a more positive note, we talked in the recent weeks about the NFL, former NFL players versus the Wounded Warriors game last night. Prior to the Seoul game, and the score, I believe, was 66-38 in favor of the Wounded Warriors.
Nice.
And, Brian Westbrook played. Ike Reese, I read that today, Don. I don't know if you saw it. Ike Reese was the quarterback, and the former NFL players are now blaming Jaws. They said, we never had a practice.
Well, the one thing I did see, Roger, about the National Football League, maybe you saw it as well. Well, Roger Goodell in the National Football League won that $610 million suit initiated against the officials for not notifying the players that they had a chance of getting concussions while playing the game, and they lost that. The players lost that series against the officials, which rightfully so they should have.
Yeah, that eliminated the catch.
Tommy, you got to stop breathing. I can't hear anybody.
Yeah, we can't hear each other, Tommy.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay, I just want to know.
Keep that phone away from the from.
We know you're
your
on there.
TV. Well, no, Don, wasn't that they eliminated the cap on those claims, right?
Yes, yes.
The concussion, yeah.
There was
a cap. The judge had set a cap, and now it's been withdrawn.
Yeah, they're going to have to redesign. But as I said, this was a separate suit just against the officials, which I don't understand at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
They said it was for some $610 million.
Right.
I might be off a few bucks, but I think that's what the number was.
No, it was a big number. You're right on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so they set that aside and said the players had no legitimate reason to have a suit against the officials.
Right. Mm. On a hockey matter, this applies to Tommy. What, is it Dan Brady used to play on the Lightning, Tommy?
The Dan Brady?
Yeah.
I think he's in a minor league system up there and that. So we.
Well, who was the guy? He was on the Stanley Cup team, and then he went to the Sharks, and he just signed with the Rangers.
Dan Boyle was.
Dan Boyle.
He's back with the Rangers, for God's sake. You know that.
That's what I read that today. Yeah.
And he was 38 years old. Now the Lightning re-signed Ryan Callahan, which was a big acquisition. And they got a couple more players from the Boyle from the Rangers up there. This Lightning team's gonna be better. They got the Rockoff from the Islanders in their free agent acquisition. So I can't wait for the hockey season to get going here, guys. I can't wait for that to get going.
Well, you know, mentioned at the top of the show about how bad the Phillies are. I thought it's very coincidental that when Ruben Amaro Jr. came out and said he's going to get rid of guys. And he doesn't bring in other guys as long as they can hit, because the guys there now can't hit. And all of a sudden, there's a whole new attitude on the field.
Well, I got that piece too, Roger. That, of course, Henry said it as well. And,
right.
Ruben, he talked a great deal about Lee, Cliff Lee. But as you well know, his return from the DL, he pitched only, I think he only threw 26 pitches or something, in Clearwater because the game was rained out, so he couldn't have a rehab assignment there of any length. Now he has to have another rehab assignment probably 4 or 5 days from now, and it's pretty tough to trade someone, especially a pitcher that's been on the disabled list with arm trouble.
Right.
I don't know exactly what he talked about trading Lee. Boy, somebody would have to take an awful chance in my mind.
Oh, amen. Definitely. But Don, he's, 36 years old, arm problems. And
yeah.
Ever since he left Cleveland, he had a good year in Philadelphia. But, I mean, down here in Tampa, the tabloids and the talking heads, they want to trade David Price. David Price is having a subpar year for this ball club right now. Why would you want to trade David Price? He's going on Saturday. He's 8-7. Why would you want to trade David Price? He's got a year left on his contract for prospects. You trade him after his contract's up for better mileage in that. You keep David Price on. This team's only 9 games off the lead, the American League East, and this Kansas City team is real good right now, guys. Just Salvatore Perez, why don't you Sandy Alomar Jr., or also like a Bob Boone right now. This kid is good.
Well, I think you got to really wait, Tommy. I think that the Rays will make a move if it's really profitable for them.
Right.
But I don't think they're just going to, I don't think they have selected David Price or anyone else to be traded unless they come up with something that's going to be beneficial to the Tampa Bay Rays. So I don't really put too much stock in that. In the case of Lee, he had a little bit of an altercation with Ruben Amaro before he went down to be put on the 15-day disabled list. He didn't want to go on the disabled list to begin with. Now, one of the teams that you would think would be a team that would and needs pitching now, with Tanaka going on the 15-day disabled list today, and you don't know how long that's going to last, and he's been the core of the Yankees the first half of the season, you'd think that they would be reaching out at Lee, even though he does have the sore elbow. But, he already went on record that he'd want to go to New York. And so to me, Brian Cashman would be taking a heck of a chance, you know, if he decided to make a deal for Cliff Lee, who doesn't want to be there, who doesn't like the New York atmosphere, who doesn't like New York, and you're going to bring him into pitch. I mean, I'm not so sure about that.
No. Jen, I'd like to welcome the Dean of Public Relations for the Arena Football League, a good friend of mine, good friend of the program. It's great to have lunch with you the other day. You're welcome, Ben Slogan, for the Tampa Bay Storm. Ben, welcome aboard. How was practice out there today at Skyway?
It was great, guys. How's everybody doing tonight?
Great, Ben.
Fired
very
up.
Good. Yeah.
How did the week pass? You had a bye week. How'd it go?
It went well. You know, I think everyone was glad to be on the bye week, recharge the batteries a little bit. You know, I think it couldn't have come at a better time, to be honest with you. We're 5-2 since the first bye week, and you know, we had that disappointing loss to Cleveland going into our bye week, and I think everyone's just kind of happy to be back. We're healthy and get after these next three games, get into the playoffs.
Well, I can't wait. It starts on Friday night. I mean, the practice on the other day was fantastic. Everybody seems to be in a great mood. Ben, I mean, it's just your early practice. I think it's good for everybody. Get to practice early, then get back in the film room right now. It's almost like running like an NFL training camp.
Yeah, let's get these guys out here early because it's going to heat up in about an hour.
Yep, going to heat up in a thunder shower up there. Was that the first time we got rained upon outside at Skyway, I think, since you've been practicing at Skyway? I think it's the first time we got rained upon.
Yeah, it's been a while since the last time a storm came in. But yeah, it was fun. It was a fun time. Everyone, it was pretty fun.
Hey, also, hey Ben, your friends over in Orlando got knocked off by the Soul last night.
Yeah, that was that's a double-edged sword. if you look at the way the standings work, you know, yeah, we're all tied up now with Orlando at 8-7. You know, technically they're half game ahead because they have tiebreaker against us. But you know, it's good if we want to get after that the division and try to fight for home field advantage, or not a home field advantage, but at least a first round hosting. It's great because we'd be the 2 seed, and you know, we'd play Pittsburgh if we won the division.
Mm-hmm.
The thing though is that since Philly won, they're not out of it, and you know, had Philly lost, it really would have made our magic number one. So we would just need one win.
Twice.
Right. So it wouldn't matter if we tied them, but because they won, they can still kind of creep up and steal that 4th seed from us if they end up with a better record at the end of the season, which is possible. I think they could creep up if we – I don't think it would happen, but if we were to, for argument's sake, if we were to lose out and Philly won – Philly can creep into that 4th spot.
And, of course, the great thing is that you want to have that first game at home in the playoffs.
Yes.
Right. We definitely want to have the first game at home. The coach would be fired up about it. We know the fan base would love it. They haven't seen a home playoff game in probably since 2010.
Wow.
Yeah, probably since 2010 when they were playing to get into, playing for the conference championship. I know the fans are hungry for it. And we're hopefully we can give it to them.
Hey, Ben,
well,
Ben,
the thing right now is since we're tied with Orlando, it's kind of interesting. We're tied with Orlando. If we win this Friday and Orlando loses, we will take sole possession of the South Division.
Yes.
And they'd be knocked out of the 4th seed because if they were to end with a tie with Philly, they lose the tiebreaker. So we'd have potential to knock them out of the playoffs. I mean, obviously, there's still 3 games left, but that would be pretty big.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. I said to Lawrence, ain't no stopping us now, Ben. So that's our new theme song, ain't no stopping us now. Here we go.
We definitely control our own destiny at the moment, and these guys are hungry. Everyone's hungry to hungry for a win, hungry to go to San Jose. I'm ready to go to Spokane and get one back from Cleveland, final game of the season.
I think it's going to happen.
Pretty tough teams coming up. I mean, San Jose's already won their division.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to put the same their starters in for this game, or do you think they'll lay back and what we got?
I don't know. I mean, their coach, they have a pretty competitive coach, and knowing them, I can see them just try to keep ride this momentum right into the playoffs. They're coming off. They won this past week, but 2 weeks ago they just dismantled Arizona, the best team in the league. Pretty convincingly. I think the score was like 69-33
wow.
or something like that. And Arizona is the best at everything. So they're playing on all cylinders. This is gonna be the toughest test we've had all season. And the guys are up for it for sure.
Tougher than Cleveland?
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, they play that they're a more talented team. They're the 2 seed out in the West, or National Conference, and I don't think you would see Cleveland do what San Jose did to Arizona. If you can,
well,
if you can beat Arizona,
doesn't want to wait till that last game against Cleveland to make a decision as to whether they not only in the playoffs but whether they got the home field advantage.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to want to lock it up as soon as possible, but knowing the way this war in I-4 goes and the history. It's going to come down to the final game of the season.
Wow.
These guys always go back and forth, and it's always ends up being the final game of the season. We're playing the best team in our conference. Orlando will play the best team in National Conference in Arizona, final game of the season. And, it's a battle for the division.
Ben, is there a possibility that we would come down to having – I mean, they were saying on the TV last night that we may – have to have another war on I-4 to settle this out. Is that a possibility?
No, that won't happen. That can't happen because if we were to tie with Orlando, we lose that tiebreaker. That's why they have the tiebreakers. Because we had 3 games. We played 3 games with them. We lost 2 of the 3.
Oh boy, gotcha.
So we can't tie with Orlando. We have to beat Orlando. And actually, let me take a step back. We can tie with Orlando as long as Philadelphia keeps losing.
Great. That's
because
fantastic.
So we can get the 4th seed.
Well, I think we're going to take care of business on Friday night. We're going to Spokane, another business trip, and we're going to bury the hatchet in Cleveland for the home finale and host the home playoff game. That's what I'm praying for, Ben. Host the home playoff game. Get our fans fired up.
We start off the playoffs on the road. We'll be playing Cleveland the final game July 26th, and then we'll be turning right around and heading back up to Cleveland to face them again.
Oh, boy, it's not going to happen. We're going to host a home playoff game. Mark my words, I got confidence in Lawrence, Jeff, and yourself. We're going to host a home playoff game.
Does it work the other way around? If you beat Cleveland, do you still play them in the first round at home?
Yes, because we'll still be if we're 4th seed at the end of the season, even if we beat Cleveland, we still have to go up to Cleveland because Cleveland's
okay.
the number 1 seed.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. If we get the 2 seed, then we'll play Pittsburgh at home.
Oh, my. The Steel City and the mistake on the lake. Oh, boy. 2 football powers. Oh, boy. That's just going to be. But, Ben, it's not going to come down to that. We're going to take care of business Friday night. You're going to fly back, have a great weekend, go up to Spokane, take care of business, get ready for Cleveland, and get ready for that playoff run in August. I'm counting on that, and I'm praying for that right now.
Now, Tommy, you said at the beginning of the season we'll be playing deep into August.
Yeah, that's a nice – we have to postpone our golf game until we get the ring on your finger. Then we'll celebrate.
Tommy, the soothsayer.
Hey, Tommy.
What's over?
Or Ben, there's a – you want
Let
to
say
about the
soothsayer scares me to death.
What's that?
Did you want
to
say anything about
scares me
the
to
program
death.
They have planned for the 25th for season ticket holders?
They have a few things going on for the season ticket holders for the July 26th game, and you'd have to contact – the season ticket members would have to contact their rep. But there is a couple opportunities for some season ticket members to join the players as they run out on the field. A couple other things are going on the concourse, and really we haven't I can't say much more than that because we haven't released anything on it. But yeah, I know that for sure there is a few opportunities out there. Just contact your season ticket member rep, and they can fill you in best.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. That final home game. It's also the Laker night down the tube, Ben, for the local paper. It's going to go, like, so far we got 10 people going to go down the game, big group. And
nice.
Beefle Brady's up in the Wildwoods taking a busload of people down for that final home game. And also mm-hmm. the VA hospital in Tampa is having a big group come to that game also. So it's just, we keep on winning, get the fans back, and I can't wait for you to pack that house. It has to be rocking and rolling for that Cleveland game.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. We want to pack the house on that
yes.
final game, July 26th. It's fan appreciation night. We want to show everybody that we appreciate the fans and give them a good show. Come on out and watch the home team win.
Any television?
Yeah, we'll be on Bright House. For anybody that can't actually come out to the game, and for whatever reason, we'll be on Bright House Sports Network. It'll be channel 47 for standard definition and 1147 for high definition.
But, you know, but Ben and everybody, you got to come out and support these guys. The experience of arena football game is so spectacular. It keeps action-packed. And the
yeah.
main thing about that, you go down the field, meet the players who played the game, you get autographs, bring the kids down, and have a great time. That's why I love arena football better than the NFL. Because you go down and meet the players, you bring the kids down, it's a fan-friendly game, the kids can run the field and sign autographs for the players. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, that's what we strive to do. We strive to give everybody, the fans, the best possible experience that they can have in any AFL arena. We try to be the best at everything, and, you know, come on out. All the fans got to come out for that game. Show the team support.
And they will, Ben. They're going to come out. They're going to bury, you know, first to take business first. You got to go out there to San Jose. And you come back home, have a great practice. You go out to Spokane, and we just play what we have to do. Good storm football and a road football. There, it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. You have to play mistake free.
I just want to know, set up the schedule to go to Spokane and San Jose back to back. What idiot set that one up?
Who's that voice? Holy God! My person been answered, Mr. Haggerty. Good evening, sir. How you been?
Well, good evening from Seattle, Washington. I'm on the other side of the state from Spokane.
The great Northwest.
And I'll tell you what, guys, not to change the subject real quick, but the only thing they're talking about on Sports Talk Radio is when the Seattle Mariners are going to trade for David Price.
Well, there are a lot of teams that are talking about when they're going to trade for David Price. I don't think they'll trade him in the American League East to anybody, regardless of what the situation is. But obviously, there are a lot of teams who would like to have David Price, and you're right. Seattle's been mentioned certainly more than once.
Oh, they got a great prospect, a pitcher by the name of Walker out here. They're saying he's the second coming of Dwight Gooden, but... Gentlemen, I'll tell you what, the next 30 games will determine whether David Price gets traded. If the Rays go 20-10, now they're back in the thick of things. They've got to go 20-10 in the next 30.
Leo, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm playing the counterpoint. You sign, and Ben knows this, Ben and I talk about this when we're in the office. David Price is signed to 2015. No matter what he does now, if this Rays team starts going in a run, you keep them around up there. You know, Andrew Friedman can be very patient in what's going to happen with the opportunity he has right now. You want to go jump on him. I mean, just take your time who's out there. And I think, love to see David be, you know, he made the All-Star team his fourth straight year. And I had a chance to ask David after the game yesterday. I said, what's Astro going to do when you're gone? He says, I don't know.
Yeah.
He said, Astro wants to go.
Well, I'll tell you, this is as complicated as to whether Melo's going to sign with the Knicks or somebody else, or whether LeBron James is going to fly to another city. He's in Las Vegas tonight with the Los Angeles Lakers, and I mean, this speculative junk. I mean, all we do is fill up the papers every day, 3 and 4 pages.
Right.
On what? On where these guys are going to be traded to, which means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
That's right.
And how about the big story of the day? About those guys that are arrested in South America for impersonating the Brazilian soccer team.
Oh, my. That's right, guys. How can Germany beat Brazil?
7-1 That's like a football game being 56-6.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it 5 goals in like 7.5 minutes or something?
No,
like
no,
that?
19 minutes.
Yeah.
And here's the funny part. When you talk about 19 minutes, it's not like you're talking the NFL where they stop the clock. This is when, you know, they kick the ball out of bounds. The clock still runs. I mean, they scored 2 goals in the space of 127 seconds.
Wow.
That's unheard of. That's unheard of. And it's just crazy. But, you know, the Brazilian soccer team probably have to go in the witness protection program down there.
I'm still waiting to see. Everybody talked about the ratings that the World Cup has gotten. I want to see what they got yesterday, down 7-1. And then, of course, today they went into overtime, nothing. If you go watch a game for 90 minutes that doesn't do anything, you're a better man than I am.
Yeah.
It was fun, though, you know. It was fun up here.
You know what, guys? When the guy from the Netherlands went down like he was shot with a gun against Mexico, I said, nah, I can't watch this. It's like watching the WWE.
Well, you're right, Leo, because the newspapers have all had that time and time again that all they're doing is flopping. So it's like the NBA and in Technicolor.
Yeah, exactly. It was terrible. But what's new in Tampa, man? I haven't been there since June 15th.
Well, can I tell you some good news, Leo? I'm going to make an announcement right now. Angela Perrone she was engaged. I don't know if Paula told you about that, so I'm going to break that news to you right now. I was in the office the other day, and she came up to me and says, hand behind her back. Oh, my God, what did I do now, you know? She showed me the rock, and I started crying happily, tears of joy, Leo, because we know Angie for a long, long time, and Paul was like family to us, you know, and then I'm going to tell you that firsthand, and if Paul calls, you'd be surprised, okay?
He already did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just want to break the news. I don't know if you heard the news or not. But congratulations, Angie Perrone. Couldn't happen to a better person. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, it must have been like a day or two ago because the carrier pigeon just got out here with a little note on its foot, you know.
How's your summer been, sir? You've been traveling, doing the football camps, right?
Yeah, I've been to Charlotte, been to Minneapolis, been to New York, been to Denver, and now I'm out in Seattle, heading to San Diego, Charleston, and Philadelphia. So other than that, it's been a very, very quiet summer.
Right. So when the Bucks kick in, then you'd be extremely busy. We're going to go tee it up on a golf course.
Oh, yeah, we're going to tee it up in San Diego with Coach Brian Dutcher from San Diego State. We're going to do that next week. And then, Tommy, when we get back, we got to hit him, that's for sure.
We'll have to get Ben out there, too. We have to get Ben and Coach Samuels out there, Leo. That'll be a good time out there.
Hey, Leo, where's the camp going to be in Philadelphia?
The camp is going to be in Westchester.
Okay, training camp home of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, before they went to Lehigh. And I'll tell you what, you can always tell the rookie media people up in Lehigh because they have the media meeting place at the bottom of the mountain, literally.
Ooh.
And, you know, check in. And Roxanne and I went up there for a training camp when they opened. And they said, you know, she said, where's training camp? She said, it's about a half mile. I said, we can walk. I said, no, Roxanne, we're driving. She said, why? I said, we'll see in a minute. It is right up the top of the mountain at Lehigh.
Wow.
In fact, they call it the mountain campus up there. So. And guys, I got some semi-good news to report. Doug Fernandez, I don't know if you know, was diagnosed with leukemia.
Right.
And the reporter out of Bradenton, Sarasota, but he's fighting it, and he's taking treatments, and hopefully everything goes well there.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
It's been going on, been going on since the middle of spring training. I talked to him the day before he left, and I've talked to him a couple of times when he was in the hospital in Tampa, and been sort of, you know, in and out with that chemo treatment, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I had to talk to Doug the other day. He's a little weak at times, but he's still going to the office every single day that he can. And, you know, well, we've had a lot of respect for Doug. He's a great guy.
Definitely.
Around the city without anybody knowing it. So, you know, we've always had a good thought for him.
Darren Dalton's having some health issues again. So, you know, we'll be hoping that Dutch comes around.
Oh, for sure, because Dutch is a great player on and off the field. He meant so much to the Philadelphia Phillies when he was playing up there, and that was just fantastic up there and that. So, update from the Trop guys, 1-0 their trail, and Eric Hauser hit his fifth home run off Alex Cobb, top of the second so far. So it's been up and down, and it's been up and down for the Rays this first half of the year. But you got to have faith up there. You know, everybody's saying, look what happened to 64 Phillies. They're collapsing up there. It's the same thing in the Rays. They got enough talent to get it going right now, and I'm hoping and praying to these guys will get it going.
The bottom line is, if you look at the 80 Phillies, they were 9 back the 4th of July.
Exactly.
And the Rays were 9 back. Again, the next 30 games are huge. They've got to go 20-10. If they can get to 500 with 40 games to go, Katie bar the door, because look out, because Hellickson will be back. You know, when you look at this rotation, no one thought about Odorizzi and Bedard. I mean, come on, that was an afterthought. And to think they're even still in the conversation is not bad. And again, if people say, well, you're 10 games away, it doesn't matter, you know.
Well, Leo, they're in the conversation in Tampa, but they're not necessarily in the conversation throughout all of baseball. I mean, they're 8 games back in the loss column, as you said. And, you know, you can't dismiss what Joe's been able to do over the last 5 years consecutively. So they've won more games. They've won more games than anybody in the American League over the last 4 years going into this year.
Right.
So you're right. But, hey, you got to overcome an awful lot to get back into the hunt.
Yes.
Well, the bottom line is that they've got to get their pitching staff back. They've got to get that back. If they can get Hellickson back and he's, you know, 80%, 85%, you know, that's 3 or 4 more wins. And if I'm not mistaken, this team is 7 games out in September when that craziness happened to, you know, 162 and all that.
Well, they're getting a little help tonight because the Yankees are down 3-0 in the first inning. So the Indians who put the Yankees to sleep last night are doing the same thing in the first. Well, they're in the top of the second inning now, 3-0.
All right.
And the Orioles are down 2-0 to the Nats in the first inning.
There you go.
He's done it as the TV showed you, John Adams, the drummer out there. They showed you out there, and they showed my the old Terminal Tower, my old office building. For the one place from home plate out there is a white building. I used to, when the Jacobs Field was first built, I used to park in there for $2. I think it was the old Halley building. I used to park there for $2, then walk across you down your Jacobs Field right there. So I used to park there a lot.
Well, I'll tell you another thing. The Mets took the first 2 games for the Braves, your Braves team, Roger, and their Mets are up 1-0 in this one. They got 2 more tonight's game and tomorrow night's game to go. And the Braves right now are struggling.
They certainly are. It's parity, right?
Yeah. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? It's funny, but when you look at the American League first. Is there anybody that scares you in the American League that if the Rays happen to get to the playoffs, I don't want to play. I don't think there's a team right now in the American League that you look at and say, wow, I don't want to play these guys. I mean, they go up to Detroit. They sweep the Yankees in New York, go up to Detroit, split with Detroit or 3 out of 4. I can't remember what that was because I was on an airplane that night. But, I mean, they could take 3 out of 4 from Baltimore on a series where you probably thought they could get buried at 2-8. They come back with a winning record. There's so many teams that are flawed this year in the American and the – I mean, look at the San Francisco Giants. They're running away with it. Now they can't figure out how to win a game.
You're right. You're right. And the White Sox are over the Red Sox right now, 2-0 up in Boston. So the Red Sox can't find a way to win either.
And it scares me. The team that scares me is Oakland. 6 games in a row they won, and Mike's Socia's team, too, with the Angels up in the town. Look at Seattle, guys, 49-41 up by your neck of the woods, Lee, where you're visiting up there. And that, they're 6-4 last 10 games, and they're 8 games back, for God's sake. And,
this guys in Seattle. In Seattle, the big talk is they just cut the backup catcher, and the clubhouse went ballistic. The players couldn't understand. I mean, when is the backup catcher ever been a conversation piece anywhere? But that's all they were talking about in Seattle, was this guy Buck got, you know, designated for assignment, DFA. But he's the backup catcher. He plays once every 5 games. It's crazy. It's crazy.
But talking about those Athletics, though, they are a good team, and they're making some moves to improve themselves for the balance of the season.
It looks like Billy Bean is really going to go all in. He made that trade 2 days ago, got himself 2 additional players. Billy Bean, who, you know, is obviously noted for not spending a lot of money, looks like he thinks his club has a chance to win it all, at least in the American League. Now, I don't know about the World Series, but has a chance to win it all and get in the playoffs, and he's going all in. He's going to throw the money on the table.
Amen.
Exactly.
If I'm the Rays and I happen to get in, I would love to play the Oakland Athletics. You know why?
Why is
they
that?
Don't know what it's like. They don't know what it's like for a playoff baseball. They haven't been there in so long. And guys, you know as well as I do, you don't walk in the first time and get it right. That it's going to take. It's a process. Look at the Rays when they came in. It was a process. Get to the playoffs, then get to the next level, then get to the next level. It's a process.
Well, Leo, the difference is that the Rays don't have. If they made a trade between now and the 31st of July, and got themselves a real hitter, a guy that can step into that number 4 spot and either play back of Longoria or in front of Longoria, I might agree with you. But you're not going to win scoring 2 runs a game, 3-2, 2-1, 1-0. You can't do that. And the A's score runs. So if they play the A's, they're going to score runs.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Don and everybody, one of the top players for the Rays is still on the DL, Will Myers, with that wrist injury. He's coming to come off probably sometime in the end of July. You get him going again. You get the Matt Joyce will be coming on the show next week. You get him going right now. He's batting good. Longoria and Ben Zobrist. I still think sitting here in the July 6th, the Rays will be in the playoffs. I firmly believe in Joe.
Well, I'm not going to disagree because Joe does a great job, and more importantly, all the teams around them are not that good. I mean, they're going to lose a lot of games. The Red Sox, the Yankees, Baltimore. Baltimore's pitching staff is very, very suspect. Their bullpen is a little bit of a question mark, too. And so, you know, you can pick up a lot of ground if you get a winning streak going, but as Leo said, they got to get the pitching staff straightened out. They're not going to have any winning streak.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Correct. Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, guys, the best thing going right now is nobody's running away and hiding in the Baltimore's in first place, but they're, what, 7-8 games over .500? It's not like they're chasing a team that's 15-16 games over .500.
Right,
if the Rays were in the AL West, we wouldn't be having this conversation, period.
Yeah, exactly, with Oakland and L.A. in there. But, But, you know, Central Division, Leo, this Kansas City is a good ball club up there. Salvatore Perez reminds me of.
Yeah, but Leo, you're looking at a Tampa Bay team that's, what, lost 51 games or 52 games? 51 games? And Baltimore's lost 40. So, you know, you're talking about a tremendous difference going to the All-Star game.
Yeah, but, again, if you end up a game a week, come the middle of September, you're three out. I mean, that's the beauty of baseball, is that, and Don, you know this better than anybody else. I mean, I wanted to shoot Chico Ruiz when he stole home, you know, because that was the crowning blow in the 64 game.
You weren't alone.
Cincinnati. Yeah, and Chico Ruiz steals home. I mean,
you know who was the most surprised person in the ballpark?
Chico Ruiz.
No, Frank Robinson. He was the guy at the plate.
And if you remember, Frank Robinson used to stand right on top of the plate and have a big right open stance, and Chico slid right between his legs. He was like, "What are you doing down there?" Oh, it's 1-0. And
can you imagine if Frank Robinson had hit that ball, he'd have killed Chico Ruiz.
That's right. Oh, God. But, you know, guys, I want to ask a question for you. What do you think about pitching right now? I mean, pitch counts and this and that. I mean, I just can't see. I'm like, Don Drysdale, no pitch count on those guys.
Hey, Donnie, we have Matt Gary.
Okay. All I did you do is say our next guest, he's going to have a big hockey tournament. Press conference coming up week from today, Mr. Matt Gary. Matt, how you doing this evening?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing tonight?
Terrific.
The big event coming up, and it's getting close.
Yes. Actually, I'm in a construction area right now. The bathrooms are almost done, Tommy. We just built the stairs to the loft area.
But Matt, we got some great news up there, and anybody in the business want to listen, we had the press conference a week from today, 11 o'clock at All Sports Arena, Newport Richey, Florida. So we're going to announce it right then, and then we start getting busy.
Yeah, Mr. Wickett and I spoke today, and they're sending out some information, Tommy, and confirmed Jason Cullimore is going to be putting his name on this. He'll be at the press conference with Paul Porter. Paul's also bringing some people that are going to be learning under him to the press conference.
Good.
Looking forward to really getting the name out and letting people know what's really happening.
And I think by that time we'll have to talk to him this next week and get together some rates for the advertising up there, and that's so we can the people would be there, or sponsors would be there, we'll be get that program up there. It'd be great.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, the sponsorship dollars are going to help this rink even look better. It's going to keep more kids off the street and doing being in a safe environment and playing sports, just like we all did when we were kids.
Matt, so why don't you tell Roger what happened to one of our sponsors, a Wawa?
Yeah, well, we're waiting to see where it goes. Tommy and I had a great meeting with them, and fingers are crossed, we look like they're going to be partnering with us.
And I talked to one of the top guys today, Roger. They says, is a talk to the head guy from Florida, and he says, it looks they're going to come on board with us. We got to figure out dollars and cents up there. So I'm very ecstatic about that phone call, very ecstatic what happened today, Matt. I'm on cloud nine right now, Matt, for you.
Yeah, for all of us, you know, Tommy, this is all shared. And, you know, the best part about it is it's not just a sponsorship for us. It's a sponsorship for the sponsor, because this is going to really be out there. As you know, Tommy, that we're talking to that radio station broadcasting this, which is, you know, a huge plus, but it's going to be streamed, and every one of these countrymen are going to be having their families and their friends all listening back home, you know, so it's a good way to get any business, any name, anybody that wants to be involved's name out there.
And I think it's going to be great, like I proposed to Rich today, how Wawa had the naming rights for the building, for your building, and also for the tournament up there. So Rich loved that idea about that.
Yeah, well, again, I hope Wawa comes through, and it'll be a great plus for us. And the press conference next Wednesday, anybody who would like to come out is welcome at 11, and then we're going to follow up at lunch.
I can't wait for that to be
the physical address.
You know what, guys?
We are at 7716 Rutilio, which is spelled R-U-T-I-L-L-I-O. And we're in the lovely town of Newport Richey. And the zip is 34653.
Oh, my God, Matt, you're going to see me dress up. I can't even put a suit on, right? Do I got to put a suit
Tommy,
on that day? I'm coming shorts.
Yeah.
Tommy, whatever you're comfortable in, but just don't wear a dress this time.
I have to dig some. I'll bring casual clothes. I'll put my white pants on, a nice shirt I got for my birthday, and a tie for you. Then I'll put a suit jacket on for you.
There you go. Well,
hey,
you
hey,
can even come as the guy, you know, what he wore in Greece with you, you know, the black vest jacket and greased up hair. We'll introduce you a little different.
Roll up t-shirt sleeves. Hey,
exactly,
Matt,
but no smoke. We're not going to let you smoke, Tommy. We're worried about you.
I'm shorts and sandals, right?
I want to know about that dress, Matt. Was it a pretty dress Tommy wore?
It was pink with polka dots, I'm not going to lie.
But, Roger, every time I go up and see the rink up there, I always got to take a hockey puck. So one day I was in shorts and in a tennis shoes, and his great son also taking shots on me. He said, "My God, you're good." I was bending down. I thought it was Bernie Perron again, Roger and Don. And really, I thought Bernie.
And then afterwards, the kid came to me concerned. He said, "Dad, is that guy Tommy going to be all right this afternoon? He took about 50 shots today."
Let me just interject one thing. It's not this afternoon. It's ongoing.
You know what, Tommy? Tommy, I got a great idea. If Wawa sponsors the arena, they could call it the uh-uh.
There you go, Matt.
Sponsored by the uh-uh.
Yeah, Wawa sponsors the uh-uh.
There you go.
There we go. It'd be great because I get some of their great coffee down there. I can't wait up there. And that their coffee's great. And I had Rich on talk to today. And I said, "Rich, have any people?" I said, "No, I believe in Wawa being from Philadelphia area. I love Wawa, the product. We want you on board. No one else is going to be on there."
So you go to the concession stand, and you get a sandwich and a puck? Is that what you do?
Yeah. The salt pretzels.
Yeah, the problem is with Tommy, he's going to eat the puck and shoot the sandwich.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I want to thank you, Matt, because this is probably the first day that he's been off the golf course since I've known him.
Yeah, he's been trying to get me on that golf course.
What, was there a hurricane down there today or something?
Yeah, he says, "I got to get you out there, Matt. I got to get you on this golf course." I said, "Listen, the only thing I do on a golf course is drink beer. We could just do that here."
Well, I still want to get you on there, Matt, for Pete's sake. We got to play, get you away from the building for 2 hours up there.
Oh, I would love that. You know that. But right now there's so much going on.
I know.
And then the whole point of today was getting the bathrooms ready for next week. So we have nice, brand new bathrooms for the press to come here and use. And, you know, that the objectives are here and the tournament's here and sold-out event in all these countries, Bermuda, Czechoslovakia, Italy. And it's funny because in the beginning when this first started, they called me the host. And then after my meeting 2 weeks ago, I became not just the host, but the guy who's running it at the same time. Figure that one out. I got this email, and I thought it was my laundry list.
You'll be the commissioner.
Here's what the people who gave me the event. This is what they said. "Well, nobody knows that place like you, Matt. So pretty much you're running it."
That's great. Well deserved.
I know he's doing a great job. It's great to be a part of you with Matt working with you, and that's been great. And I'm looking forward to Wednesday. I got to get my clothes dry cleaned. I've got to wear a short, a Hawaiian shirt. I'll maybe wear a shirt down with a tie-up. I'll look presentable for you.
Hey, as long as you brush your teeth, Tommy, everybody will be happy.
I will definitely do that, right? I can't come in shorts that day. You know, that's up. You would shoot me that way and that, but... Well, Roger, every time I go up to see Matt, I usually in long pants. So one day I was in shorts up there, and I said, "Matt, I said, finally, let's be shorts. So I go up there with shorts, and that was fantastic. The thing about that is I love to take some shots on goal and have to go up there. And that my, and my, who's my favorite player going along the boards? Eric Brewer.
Hey, Don, I think you need to give Tommy some lessons about how to handle the press contingent as far as the tire goes.
Well, let me just explain one thing, Tommy. I know you're going to be a big part of the press up there.
Oh, no.
Now, you cannot entertain the press while things are going on standing on the first tee.
Yeah, and Tommy, you can't talk to them while I'm talking to them.
That's right. You have to be present. That's
other people
first
talk.
Thing. You have to be there. That's number one. Number two, if you are there, just turn everything over to the host because then you know it'll be straight down.
Oh, he's already given me his introduction about 40,000 times, gentlemen. He loves to give this introduction. This is Matt. Gotta go. That's the gist of it, I swear to you. That's what he says. This is Matt. Gotta go.
Hey, Frank, that's a classic. You've seen enough of those, right?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Matt, we wish you the best of luck. We wish everything, you know, you've worked very, very hard on the entire event. We wish you the best of luck. And regardless of what Tommy does, I know it'll be successful.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on the show again. I look forward to talking to you guys
soon.
What,
I've been talking about it up here. We just got back from 8 days up in Philadelphia, New Jersey, and I was telling some of my friends, even above with my daughter over the weekend, and her husband, and they're, you know, big athletes and everything, and telling them all about your place. And I said how impressive it was for me, and now you're having this tournament. I mean, this is like a big, big deal.
Yeah, and I wish more people understood the magnitude of it, and it's just hard to explain unless people play the sport. But I was just in Philly, too. I got back here on Monday. My kid had a hockey tournament up there. And for the first time ever, I got to go see the Rocky statue, and I still think the people in Philly think I'm crazy because I'm the guy that rips off his shirt and starts flexing with it. The line deep, 20 minutes long, and here I go.
Wait a minute. Let me reevaluate. I had you way ahead of Tommy, but now you have taken a giant step backwards.
Oh, no. Now, I got excited when the guy with the big tour bus came up and started doing the introduction right as I was ready to walk up. And he says, and sitting at, you know, the whole introduction. And I was like, I got to take my shirt off. This guy, and there was about, you know, 70 of the Chinese people on top of the bus didn't understand what this guy was saying. And he starts chanting Rocky. Got to go for it. Got to give these people. They came all the way here. They got to see somebody with no shirt on.
How old's your son, Matt, before Ray?
Austin's 11.
Oh, 11, okay. Yeah, we have a fellow who's been on the show and has three boys that play, Don McMahon, and Connor, his son, you know, has leukemia, and he's had chemo several times. I've seen Don, but, boy, I'll tell you, you're a dedicated parent, because in hockey, you're trapped all over the country for these tournaments.
Sorry, I broke up there. I didn't hear what you said.
No, I was just saying, hockey parents. You know, I mean, I did it with girls' basketball, but I want to tell you, hockey parents, boy, you're traveling all over the country, to Canada.
Oh, goodness.
For these
tournaments
for these kids.
Well, you know, I can't even tell you, for over 15 years, I had a kind of a system. In February, Vegas, March, Philadelphia, I can go on and on. I was doing 7 tournaments within 8 months, myself playing.
Wow.
This sport, and you know, I wasn't allowed. I was at the tryouts, but I wasn't allowed to make the team because the coach told me straight out, "You are going to be running this event, and it's not going to look good for the U.S. if you're playing."
Well,
so
I think
he said,
Tommy,
you know,
you
we want you to come to the tryouts
for
just so people see you, but in 2 years when it's in the check, you know, you'll be on the team. So I was okay with that, you know.
Good. Well, Tommy, you know yourself that the work that Mr. Vanekin, you know, and the Lightning have done with hockey around the Tampa area.
Oh,
so we talked to them a couple of times. They travel up to Canada with junior teams and 15-year-old teams and 10-year-old teams. There's a lot going on in hockey down there.
Oh,
absolutely. Gentlemen, I got to get off because I got to go play it, as you know.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys. You have a great night.
Thanks, Matt, for coming on.
Bye-bye.
There we go. Week before the press conference, guys. Matt and I getting ready for this thing, and I'm looking forward to it in the worst way. It's going to be packed house up there and that. And Matt deserves. He works so hard for this hockey tournament. Gets this thing going, right? He works so hard for this, and it's an honor to know him as a friend and get this thing going for him up there.
Yep. Hey, Tommy, I hate to be a party pooper, but we're getting ready to kick off the 5 o'clock practice. We're three hours behind you out here in Seattle. But I will be on with you next week from San Diego from 7 to 8 your time, and hopefully I can drag Coach Brian Dutcher, who's the coach in waiting for San Diego State University, to call in.
Oh,
great.
Fantastic. Leo goes, well, be safe out there and that. When you come home, call me, and we'll have to go tee it up and get Ben or Coach Samuels out to go tee it up out there.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, guys, real quick, Coach Samuels came out and talked to our men's club Knights of Columbus group, and what a class act. What a class act.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it.
Yep. All right, buddy. Keep it in the fairway, fellas.
I'll try.
You too. Be it high and watch it fly.
Tell me where that is.
Take care, guys.
that's Mr. Haggerty, Leo Haggerty, our football guru, Mr. Football, we call him. It's good to hear from Leo. I thought Leo fell. Didn't hear from Leo, so what happened? Holy crap, hope he's okay in that. We're broadcasting live from Paddy's Bar, Tropicana Field. Some bad news down here. Kansas City 1-0 over the Rays and Alex Cobb. It's Salvador Perez. It's Eric Hosener got the home run for Kansas City in that, so it's great to see Patty. She's working hard behind the bar. She says hi, guys, so you have to come out and meet her one day. She's working hard. She gives me my dessert. We'll have to get her on for a minute. She got a minute here. Patty, you got a minute? Okay. Patty, I don't have a minute, so we can come down in that. So, but, it's great this time of year, the All-Star game next weekend. It's always great to watch a Midsummer Classic, guys, a home run derby and that. And I just pray one of these days it should be down here at Tampa Bay, the home run, the All-Star game. But we know the stadium situation now is very tough.
Oh, that's very true, Tommy. And I think hopefully one day it will. I think something like that could really help the attendance of the team, for the season.
Exactly. Last night, 12,000. It was a well-pitched game. Rays won tonight's maybe 12,000. I mean, it's just they got to do something to get the people in the ballpark. But remember, guys, you had the Phillies Express relief from, 69th Street going down to the Vet or any or CONEMAX Stadium, and those buses are packed out there, guys. I never see a bus after a game except for the players' bus. I never see that anymore.
Tommy, that might be some opportunity for you to set up a trial.
Buy a bus and go by the golf course on your way to taking the fans to.
Oh,
to the drop.
Don and Roger and Frank, I got to tell you a funny story. Where the store practices is Skyway Park, okay? Right next, across the street, is a golf course up there. So I just talked to Coach Lawrence and Coach Kay and Randy Hibbert. That par three, what is it that he hit? I said, hit a quarter nine iron. Coach said, hit a wedge. So one day, last day at Skyway Park, I want to get we'll have to get permission from the golf course. Okay, guys, we have all the balls lined up. Who gets closer to the hole buys a drink. That's what we're going to do one day.
No, that'll be good.
Oh, yeah. It's great up there. Randy, they're all golfers up. Randy Hibbert and James Harrell, they're good golfers up there. Coach Lawrence is a good golfer too, or not? So it's going to be fun what the Storm could do right now. I think that the Storm could beat San Jose, and they could beat these guys and come home with a W. I think it'd be wonderful if they get it going here.
I really hope that. Like they say, from your lips to God's ear, but they're going into a team that is really way ahead of them on the standings at this point in time, and has already tied up their division title. It's not going to be a cakewalk for those guys, and they never, no matter what, how well they play, they never get a fair shot on the road.
I know, Frank. It's going to be different. Let's hope it's going to be different this week. That'd be wonderful. See what they can do for this week and that. So main thing is, I want to see this team host a home playoff game at the Forum. It'd be wonderful, rock and rolling again next year. Game up there, and it'd be great. Then Jerry would come down and see us again, Frank.
Sure.
I'd love to get Jerry lunch one day and that. But guys, anything else going on in the world of sports you would get on the platter up here and that? I know LeBron James making news up there. I know we've been watching the World Cup games. It's been interesting in baseball right now. This is kind of a lull time of the year right now because everything free agency's done for NHL. Football kicks in another couple of weeks. This is a long time of the year right now.
Well, I'll tell you, Tommy, one of the great finals at the Wimbledon happened
last Sunday. Yes.
I mean, that was a five-set championship match, and I want to tell you, both of them played. Djokovic played his heart out, no question about that. And it was I thought it was a great Sunday afternoon of tennis. And if you're a tennis enthusiast, and maybe even if you aren't a tennis enthusiast, if you just like to see competitive sport, no question, that was one of the best tennis matches they've had at Wimbledon.
That's a great tennis match up there and that. But I just like to watch the girls play. How powerful those girls are when you hit the ball across the net up there. And my days in tennis, I thought it was ping pong. When you serve the thing, you throw it up and try to hit it. Those girls are fantastic up there. They're powerful. Don and everybody in their legs, the stroke for the guys too. Especially the girls, so much powerful. Their stroke is up there, and I just love watching. Well, I just love to watch a good volley between the ladies and the guys in Wimbledon. It's just fantastic watching.
Well, no question, they're getting better and better all the time. And another story there, of course, was the Williams sisters.
Right. Oh yes.
First of all, Vanessa going out quickly, and then they played the doubles and. She had that, I don't know, was a virus attack or exactly what it was. I didn't really get a real clarification on what caused her to lose her balance and her.
Oh.
And so they had to forfeit that one. But they had some great tennis over the last two. What do they call it? A fortnight
right.
In England. They had a great. They had some great tennis.
That's fantastic. And the U.S. Open starts up this week, doesn't it? And Don, what about Tiger's first tournament? I think he might be rushing that real quick with that back surgery.
Well, he's the only one who can judge that.
Right.
You and I and Roger and Frank, we're not doctors, so
right.
We don't look what we talked about for a year last year about Manning. We all thought, geez, with that neck injury, why would he? Let me put myself right up front. Why would he jeopardize his health more? When he has enough money and he has enough, had won a championship, he's got everything, but he wanted to come back and play, and look how well he played. So I'm not going to make any judgments on Tiger because I was 100% wrong. I thought, Manning would quit.
Exactly. I'm a Tiger Woods fan. What he's done for the game of golf, continuation for the game of golf. I remember Don and Roger Frank, remember he first came on the Mike Douglas show and started swinging a golf club?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? I still remember that show.
That,
and this kid is good.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Roger? We didn't hear you.
No, I said I have that on a Mike Douglas show video that I have, concise synopsis of a lot of shows.
Oh, that's right, because he came on there and that, and I remember, did he belong to Ron Mike Douglas? Did I remember us playing out there in a tournament? I ran into him. They bumped into
well,
him
he
up
could,
there.
Well, he could, Tommy, because initially he lived in Gladwin or King of Prussia, and then he moved to Gladwin to that English tutor home that he had.
Right, because I thought...
And Roger emphasized, too, that you worked on that show for a lot of years, so...
Well, I worked on it for a period of time, a couple of years, and that was 65, part of 65 and 66. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, when he passed away, I was... interviewed about it. I gave him a ride home, my late wife and I. We were engaged at the time. I was at Temple. We gave him a ride home to his home in King of Prussia in my 61 Corvair. And I said, probably the only time Mike Douglas ever rode in the back seat or front seat of a Corvair.
How the hell did you ever get in a Corvair?
I was lean and mean in those days.
I remember those Corvairs. They were good cars. They're great on gas mileage. And I remember when I graduated, right, we had the Thunderbird. My parents had a Thunderbird, so they gave me the Maverick up there. I said, why can't I, it was an LTD, that's what it was. Why can't you use the LTD? He says, no, use the Maverick. It takes more brakes, takes more hamsters to get the car going. So you're going down to shore, you had to turn off the air conditioner and roll the windows down to pass a car down there. That's what you had to do for the Mavericks up there in that fall, God. But it's just, it was great down there in that. And it's just the 4th of July holiday. Hope you guys had a great 4th of July holiday up there.
Had a great time.
Terrific, terrific. And I'll tell you, there were a couple of shows you'd want to emphasize on. I'm not a great guy for fireworks and all that, but I'll tell you, New York did a terrific job in working with, the first time they moved it from the Hudson over to the East River, after, what, 18 years, I guess, on the Hudson. And, boy, the way they did it with the backdrop of the Brooklyn Bridge and the music they played, I mean, you almost want to stand up and march around yourself. I mean, they did just a fantastic job with that. And then when you turned on Washington, I mean, the same thing. I mean, it really made, with all the problems we're having right now with what's going on out there in Texas, all these people flooding over the borders and, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how you attack the problem. But, you know, for the 4th of July anyway, it was great to be an American.
Yes, it was
until they had the show on the Parkway in Philadelphia.
Did you see that?
And Nicki Minaj, or whatever her name is, and her cast the characters. And even the mayor now is all upset because that was definitely not a family event.
I mean,
profanity that was there, and I felt bad for Channel 6 because they were running on that. I think it was a five-second delay I read. Did you read that, Don?
Yes.
And they couldn't keep up with it. They're having to flash the station break ID in there every time there's a four-letter word, which was more than...
Ooh.
Often than not, and that's a disgrace. That is an absolute disgrace. But when you, according to my wife, who knows this, knows of this woman, obviously, she is a bad person. She only knows profanity in her music.
Mm.
And if they didn't know, whoever put this together, if they didn't know that in advance, well, I would just say they're morons.
Well, look who they're celebrating now. Ice-T, for one.
Yeah.
Cool J. I mean, all of them. L.A. Cool J is fine in NCIS Los Angeles. But,
right.
I mean, the music you can't handle. I mean, it's just J.J.'s music you can't handle in a family situation.
Right.
But, you know, it's just amazing to me. I just can't understand what... These ballparks now are hiring them to do concerts after games. Shea Stadium's hiring them to do concerts after the game. Of course, J.J. owns a portion of the Brooklyn Nets, so he does his concerts there. But, boy, I agree with you, Roger. I mean, it's certainly not a family event, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, whatever happened to Ed Hurst and the Steel Pier on a Saturday afternoon?
You know, I'll give you a little story, though, today. I went to see Jersey. I went to see the show quite a while ago, Jersey Boys.
Oh, how was that?
Frankie Valli. The show on Broadway was fantastic, and it's now traveling all around the country. I would recommend anybody that hadn't seen it to go see it. I was not necessarily a Frankie Valli fan during the time in the 60s and so forth. I was doing too many other things, and I wasn't really a music enthusiast, but I went to see that show. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And now I went to see the movie, Jersey Boys, directed by Clint Eastwood. And I want to tell you, it was nothing like the show, nothing like the Broadway show. It was an in-depth...
I've heard that, Don. You can't compare the two. The new
no,
movie's
you can't compare the two,
good.
But I want to tell you, you know, Clint Eastwood has a knack of making movies. I mean... I can't believe how many great movies that guy can make. And if you go see this movie, Jersey Boys, I mean, it is a terrific, terrific. And there are two or three characters in there that could get, you know, Academy Award nominations for supporting actor. I don't know if they'll give the fellow that played Frankie Valli on the New York stage played him in this movie. And Clint Eastwood picked out all the people to represent, like Pesci. You wouldn't think Pesci was a big part of this, but he was. I'm telling you, the way he sets it up with Walken, you wouldn't necessarily think of Walken being in a movie like this, but he was. It's a terrific, terrific movie. But the big part, what I want to bring up is, when you see the movie and they show, you know, Van Stan, his first appearance on Ed Sullivan, his first appearance of Van Stan, and what do you think they had? They got the cameras on both sides, WFIL.
No, I gotta see that now.
Now you mean you don't think Clint Eastwood does research WFIL on the side of the cameras for all the shots that were taken in Philadelphia?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Did I hear today that this was the anniversary of the first American Bandstand telecast?
Wow.
You know, it was Bandstand in Philadelphia, and then with Bob Horn, then Dick Clark, and then Axel. I thought I heard on the radio this morning on KYW with Brendan Brooks, you know, he has that rewind, and I thought that this was the anniversary of the first one, something like that.
Well, let me ask you two fellows, or three fellows, because Frank was there, too, and you know, I was never a big bandstand guy myself. I never really saw it until way later on the West Coast and all. But in the movie, they depicted his first appearance of bandstand is in a theater. I never thought bandstand was in a theater, was it?
No, it was always at 46th and Market inside.
46th and Market in the old FIL.
That's what I thought. But they depicted it in a theater in the movie.
Well,
and I can't imagine Clint Eastwood when he got down to having WFIL. He was that definitive about the way he did the background. I was surprised.
Well,
that go ahead.
Well, remember
I'll
they had the Tower Theater, but that came later after Dick Clark had moved his show to California. They started doing shows at the old theater downtown, Upper Darby. Talking about the Tower Theater,
can you believe that Bill O'Reilly and Dennis Miller are going to do their show in the fall at the Tower Theater in Upper Darby?
No, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But I'll tell you, getting back to the theater point, you know what they may have been doing? Do you remember on Saturday night, Double Mint Gum, Flavorific, used to do a Dick Clark show from New York, and all the people in the audience would wear Iffic pins, and they used to bus over a lot of the dancers from the regular bandstand show over to his show in New York, which wasn't a theater.
Well, that was the one thing he didn't show, Roger, was that there, I always associated, you say, from Bob Horn all the way up, that it was always a dance show. But in the movie, it did not depict it as a dance show to start. It depicted it as coming out at a theater, which I was a little bit surprised about.
Yeah, I am too, because the only show that they ever did in a theater was that Saturday night show in New York where he'd have, you know, we'd have the acts come in. Yeah, but there wasn't any dancing then.
Right, right.
So I love Clint Eastwood seeing that with that old bandstand studio and all the graffiti on that roof up there.
Well, you know, it's the I think it's the Philadelphia some organization for economic development that's there locally there now. You know, for years it was Channel 12, and then they moved down to Fifth Street. But I can remember coming home from Temple, and sometimes I'd meet my mom, who was teaching at 47th and Locust at the Lee School. That's where she was for a number of years, and I'd ride home with her after, you know, having an intramural football game at Temple or something like that. But then you'd see all the kids lined up when you'd come up out of the Market Street,
right.
You know, on the subway.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not a picture to take your kids to see because, you know, the background and the environment of these young fellas. You know, they grew up right outside of New York City and in New Jersey. And, you know, the language is pretty much the way it would be for, you know, kids that were hoodlums. I mean, that's what they were. They were really hoodlums. They were robbing furniture. They were robbing it's an amazing story of how these guys all wound up being successful. But as I say, it is a little rough in the language here. You gotta be careful with taking kids to see it.
Well, Don, I've got a question for you about Atlantic City with all the turmoil there, with the Showboat supposedly going to close down. They're going to limit casino owners to only having two hotel casinos now. But a guy you've known for many years, and boy, I'll tell you, he's a legend in broadcasting in Atlantic City. And Rita said that they had a big section all about him in Atlantic City, Pinky Kravitz. Yesterday or the day before is USA Today, and Pinky says Atlantic City will rise again.
Well, I think it will, but I think they do have to. They decide, you know, they built so many. And the Indian Reservation in New York actually runs two of the casinos in Atlantic City now. And
that's right.
And as you said, the Showboat's going to close down.
Lavelle
is $2 billion in debt, $1 billion that they have that they owed for the building, for the mortgages, and another $1 billion that they lent or they borrowed to stay open. So they over $2 billion they owe. They're going to close down. They said they thought around the 1st of September. And it's going to be a major change, as you said, Roger, in Atlantic City. They're going to change the whole format of what's going on there.
Mm. Yep. Wow, that's shocking. I still remember resorts up there, Don, Roger, and Frank. My dad and I used to play golf with that. I'll tell you a funny story. You know, Camby Baldison was University of Pennsylvania professor. So was Orlin Burley, professors up there. So we each week, Camby Baldison owned the Haddon Hall Hotel. And my dad and I used to say, well, any negotiations yet? He said, no, not yet. Any negotiations? Yeah. Well, I wanted straight cash. Resorts was going to give him stock, bonds, and everything else up there for the Resorts International.
How about that? Well, you know, the resort was the Chalfont Haddon Hall.
That's right.
Sure, that's right. And the Haddon Hall. Because you remember, you used to walk from the Steel Pier on the boardwalk. You used to see Tavor's Toys are in there. Mr. Pina was across you from the Steel Pier. So
right. As
a kid, we used to walk down that way. And isn't that funny that Camby Baldison, he was a Quaker, and he wanted hard cash up front, none of the stock options and that. And like, imagine what the resort stock options, if you had that right now, what should it be?
Well, I'll give you a better story than that. I was at dinner with my cousin and on Saturday night. And the vote was going to be next Tuesday in New Jersey as to whether to allow gambling to go in. And Mr. Crowley, who ran the casino down in the islands, was going to come in, and he was going to create Resorts International. And my cousin said to me, look, who is a brother-in-law of Crowley, he said to me, look, Crosby. He said, look, whatever money you got, he said, buy stock right now. He said, buy stock. And I said, geez, oh, man, Henry, I don't have any money to be putting into the stock market. I said, I got kids in school and everything else. And 2 days later, they voted in. I don't have 10 cents worth of stock ever.
Wow. There you go.
I'm
hey, listen, what if, you know, you never know.
Yep.
Like, friend of Don's, Pat Ryan, when he started Hopewell Valley Community Bank, we all had an opportunity, $5,000. I had a daughter who was getting ready to go to college. My wife, Phil, and George O'Gorman and I talked about and commiserated about this many times since, what $5,000 would be worth today with Hopewell Valley Community Bank. Right, Don?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh. They keep expanding and expanding. You know, he's done a great job with that bank. And the only thing I could think of recently that would have been better than that if he'd gotten into Netflix. Netflix was $20 a share.
Oh,
and now
my
it's three. What is it, $3.75 now?
It's the same thing because I had all my stock in Hannah Mining, the steel industry, took a downfall. Like, oh, boy, now it's Poly One. You'll be embarrassed with the stock's worth right now for Poly One. I'm embarrassed to announce it, what the stock is worth right now. you could hardly buy a paper. That's how much bad it is right now. But Don, Roger, Frank, that was the steel industry. And And up in Cleveland, they worked 6 days a week in Steelhead, the Sunday off, and they used to pack Cleveland Stadium, the Brown Stadium up there and that. And it's the same thing, up in Pittsburgh and also Detroit. They used to pack that stuff up there and that.
Well,
so
everybody has a story about why they didn't make $1 million in the stock market.
But it's my part way. But that's it. But you know, and the thing about that is, that, you know, when you talk about, you know, Atlantic City, remember Atlantic City, because you had all those piers up there and that. You walk in the boardwalk up there and that. And the thing amazed me up there, they had Lucy the Elephant up there, and up in Margate up there. And I was watching.
Margate.
Lucy the Elephant, and they also had Jerry Blavitt, the Geeter with the Heater up there. I was in the resorts about 3 years ago.
You know, he's still working. The Geeter with the Heater is still working.
No.
Yeah, he's got the, just had a show the other night.
Yep.
Snyder and his wife were there. Memories at Margate.
That's exactly right.
That
Memories
there?
At Margate. And he's also contracted to do doo-wop or whatever it is on the cruise ships. He does cruise ships out for 2 weeks. And so he's still going strong.
Oh, my God. I remember that. He used to get it with the Heater. Memories at Margate. He still goes down there, huh?
He owns it. He owns it.
74th birthday yesterday at the at Memories down in Margate.
Hey, Frank, tell the whole story on that release about it was Ed Snyder and his wife. It was wasn't the head of the supposedly head of the Philadelphia Mafia there too?
Oh, jeez.
Yep. Joe Lugambi was there. Well, you know, the Geeter always had. Had ties. He was very close to Angelo Bruno. And, Bruno, Angelo's wife, was his aunt.
Oh,
and Angelo
I didn't know that.
God. Yep.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, remember, with hello, young teenagers. This is the Geeter with the Heater, the bone.
Yep. I still remember that. And I said to my wife, I said, she's, who's that DJ? He's the most famous DJ in Philadelphia history, down the shore, Geeter with the Heater. And she said, oh, who's this guy? So we went away to play slots. I stood there and talked to him. I said, my God, I used to be living down the shore in the 70s and 80s. I'm living in Tampa now. Boy, I wish you could come down and do a show down here. I said that. I said, nah, I'm stuck in Philadelphia and that. So it's just been great.
He does a lot of shows in Wildwood, too. I mean,
oh, he does? Yeah, okay.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was always big in Wildwood.
Modern day Cozy Morley. Went there in 1937 and hasn't left.
That's right.
Frank, on the way to Cape May?
on the way to Frank, is Cozy
never made it to Cape May, didn't have enough money to get there.
On the way to Cape
May. Frank?
What's that, Rod?
Is Cozy Morley still alive?
No, he died about 2 years ago.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I saw him on a St. Patrick's Day affair over at a big facility over in around South Jersey, Woodbury area, Mansion, whatever, a number of years ago, and he and I were talking about it. I know, Frank, you probably were there many times, the old Ukrainian club in Chester.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that the best? A Saturday
best,
night at
the
Ukrainian club and the acts that you used to see there, you know? And they had a big crowd. Every Saturday night, a group of us, we were working at Western Savings Bank, and we'd go over there. And then, like, the following Friday, a woman comes in, and I'm waiting on her. I'm at, you know, tell her at the time, and she says, I saw you at the Ukrainian club Saturday night.
It was interesting because in those days, you know, these guys performed. You know, today they make so much money, but Cozy Morley and Geeter with the Heater and, you know, I mean, they made more money on our outside stuff than they did, you know, working on radio stations and other things.
That's right.
They just used that as a promo to get the outside gigs.
Well, you're right. Talk about your buddy Ty Linton. You worked with him at OGL for years. So much more money on the outside.
Oh, absolutely. All their shows that they used to do during the week at different bars and so forth, they made more money there than they ever made on the radio. And
story that you may remember, Don, that we had a hostage situation in Brivesboro. And one of the things that the guy wanted, he had a young girl inside, and one of the things he wanted was to talk to High Lit. And everybody was against it, but he came down there, and he got on the phone and talked to the guy and actually went up to the front door and took the guy by the hand and brought him down to us.
I mean, people don't remember, you know. High Lit for a while when Zinkoff didn't do 76 or PA, you know, High Lit did it for a year.
That's
right.
Did he really?
After Zink died, yeah. And he's the only disc jockey that I ever worked with or even knew. You know, he had a guy that picked out all the music for him. You went in the studio. He never played a record or a CD or anything. He had a guy, and he called him his producer, and he did all the work. All High Lit did was, you know, talk on the air. He never put anything on.
Oh, but he thought you probably remember this guy from the old WCEU days. It's Bob Pantana. I know he was still around. He does stuff outside of Springfield Country Club right now.
Well,
he still does a Saturday night dance party, Tommy. What is it, Don? 38 years, Frank? 38 years, something
right.
like that.
Exactly right. And last I knew, he was doing it in Langhorne there, where you cut across 13 to US 1, a big hotel that they built over there about 15 years ago. He was there every Saturday night with his show.
That's the Sheridan, I think, right?
I think you're right. I think that's what it was, Sheridan.
I remember he was at Springfield one day and says, "Oh my God, Bob Pantano!" I remember he had been out of town for a while, so I went up to start talking to him. "Oh my God, Bob Pantano used to listen to you at WCU 98 on the FM dial. He had the disco up there, and that was fun listening to him." I was telling him that there.
Yeah, he did the show and as Roger just said, it was OGL at that time. It was
right.
Originally it was CAUAM, CAUFM.
Yes,
right.
And then they changed it to OGL, and it's still OGL now.
Well, those are the days. Well, that's what I thought about sitting out by poolside. The old days of going to the Atlantic City Expressway, eating Xavier's, and you see the diving horse, and you see everything that way down the shore, and it's. One of these days, I have to go up to the shore up there and go like the old 4th of July days up there.
Tommy, we had a great dinner the other night at Lobster Shack on the water at Sea Isle City.
There you go.
Sea Isle City?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Great. That's been there since the 30s, and we were there a couple of years ago when we had the timeshare. Last year, I guess it was. And when we got to, you know, we were at Don's wedding and everything that time. And But we went over there the other night, and I'll tell you what, they really load you up, and you can't beat it. They've got a fish market attached to it, you know. And,
right.
But it's worth the ride.
Well, you remember when you just mentioned Xavier's. I mean, Xavier's.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was gold if you went into Xavier's and had dinner. That was a home run.
Oh, definitely had
the Rams
play up there.
Yeah, well, the Rams Head Inn is still there and still as strong as can be. The Knife and the Fork down there by the old Atlantic City High School.
Last time I was in the Knife and Fork, sitting right next to me was Leonard Toews and his wife.
Is it that something?
it just comes
from casinos, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So, Roger, you said about Seattle City. Is the Springfield Inn still there?
I don't know, Tommy, but, you know, what they do is they have that one section. I think it's called Fishtown or Fisherman's Pier or something like that, but it's a street that has all these seafood restaurants on it, including Marie's.
Wow.
Now, Marie's is only open from Mother's Day, I think, until Columbus Day, something like that. But the market, the fish market next door, it's like a little Italian market, is open longer. I mean, it's open, you know, like from the spring to the end of the fall, I believe. But I'll tell you another place for listeners and you, and I know Don and Elaine have probably been up there. We went up there after we went to this memorial last week, very sad, up in Roosevelt Island for a fellow I worked with at National Broadcasting. Big Mike Davidson died of a heart attack about a month ago.
No.
But anyway, it's called Italy, and it's an Italian market at 23rd and 5th, and it's one Italian restaurant after another and market. You can buy all kinds of pastry, cheeses, and take it home with you. And I got to tell you, the line was almost out on the Fifth Avenue for people wanting gelato. And it was a hot day. Oh, if you ever get up there, I know Reed and I have talked to Don and Elaine about it. And Dan and Kathy Baker were up there for a show last year. And we were with them last night, and they were saying that he had called me and said they went there. They took our suggestion, and they said, man, that place is unbelievable.
Oh.
So if you like Italian food, Italy, E-A-T-A-L-Y, it was started by a couple of well-known chefs, and it's a really great place.
I'll get back to sports for a second. Sure. Sure. Just hit a home run, and the Yankees are now up on Cleveland 4-3.
Oh, no, that's not good.
And Jeter has two base hits. Jeter's 2-for-3.
Oh,
and
wow.
4-8-1 for the Yankees, 3-6-1 for Cleveland.
Wow. Don, you talk about Derek Jeter. What a class act. And about the All-Star game, starting the All-Star game. That's just fantastic for the fans of baseball and people in baseball putting Derek Jeter on that team for his last time.
Well, no question about that. I didn't think there was going to be a question. You know, he would have been on the team one way or the other. But, you know, I think the thing that surprised me more than anything else, and I would have hated to see, but he's hitting about with the two base hits tonight. I haven't seen him. I'm going to say he's hitting about 274, maybe 273. And, you know, he's been very, very involved in, you know, the rallies that they've had. You know, he's not going to have a 300 hitting season, no question about that. But, I mean, he's going to go out with a very respectable 270, 275.
Yes.
It's, you know, 20 years.
Wow. I mean, you know, but Derek Jeter is so class. So he went to the hockey game. Funny story. He went to the hockey game one day. I seen him down there and that. And then in the Metro called. He had to go interview Derek. So one thing about Derek says, "How you doing, Tommy? I've got some time for you now. What do you need?" He's always like that way. Personality, great for the game of baseball. Like I said to Cal Ripken at Tropicana Field, "Cal, I wish you the very best. I'm going to miss you tremendously." He says, "Tommy, I'm going to miss you in baseball." That really sunk in. That is better than getting an autograph on a baseball or piece of paper. What he just said, it just sunk in even better for what happened to two greatest shortstops of all at baseball, those guys.
Amen.
Yep, no question about that. There's never been a bad word written or said about either one of those two players. I mean, off the field, they were, you know, just the way you'd want to see people conduct themselves.
Oh.
Jeter the same way.
Don, I'll tell you another one. Joe Carter, a good friend of mine, and it's funny because, like, Joe and Tom Candiotti, I'll tell you a funny story about that. When I first got into this great business, Bob Gibson pitching for the Brewers, and he said, "Go up to Tom Candiotti, tell him that you know me." Now, I'm green in the clubhouse. Like, I was looking at one like stars up there, and Doc Edwards, the manager of the Phillies, got fired and hired Cleveland, hired him on. So my second game of covering baseball, I got it, you know, Greg Swindell said, "Hey, come in, Doc wants to see you," right? So I'm in the manager's office, here comes a pie in the eye, and Greg Swindell says, "Welcome to the Major League, son." And one day when Joe, Don's playing golf and he's superstars. I'm starstruck back then, I was. And then, you know, Joe was my partner, Tom Candy Eyes my dad's partner, right? So I came in the clubhouse to see how Joe made it, right? He says, "Gee, my back is killing me. What'd you do to me?" So Bob DiBiase is a good friend of mine. He said to me, "What did you do to me?" And I said, "Oh my God!" But Kevin down at Tropicana Field,
Kevin Kiermaier hit a grand slam, raised 4-2, bottom of the fourth as we're throwing that story here. And then Patty, for Patty's part, people going nuts up here at Don, but it's 4-2
Tampa Bay. Who hit the grand slam?
Kevin Kiermaier hit the grand slam. So that's I think his first career grand slam, 4-2 Tampa Bay. And that's, you know, like we said before, Don, this is what the team needs, the unsung heroes to do this. Now Alex Cobb's got a 4-2 lead going into fifth inning right now. So great swing by Kiermaier, and it's just the fast. It was a fastball, 97 miles an hour fastball, and Kiermaier nailed it. And Patty got so excited. They all got so excited down here. And David Price just gave Kevin Kiermaier a big hug and that. And it's one swing at the bat, guys, and this team's right in it right now. And Kevin Kiermaier was won the trade for I believe it was for the trade for James Shields for Kansas City, and this ball here up high fastball right now, Kevin Kiermaier just nailed it.
You know, Tommy, that's one thing that Joe said tonight on the 6 o'clock news, that people said how quiet these bats have been, and it looks like that. He says we're an explosive team. And we just needed to have the right momentum, and we've just hit our momentum. And,
exactly.
He said, you know, now we are a dangerous team for anybody to play.
Exactly. Roger. I just saw Andrew Friedman walk by. He was with a big smile on his face. He shot me a wave like a thumbs up here. Because I was just telling this to right now, because Rick, I said, when he made it on the road trip, you're going to go 9-1, ain't no stopping us now. We're going to get – yes, we can. So I saw him yesterday briefly going up and down the hallways. I said, Tommy, you're exactly right. And what Joe said, you got to analyze what Joe says. Series at a time. You take a series at a time. You creep up this way. If everybody loses right now, it gain another game up there. And this Kansas City team is a very good baseball team.
Yes, they are. How about the Phillies, Roger? Where do they stand tonight?
Well, they're just getting underway out in Milwaukee. And, of course, last night it was unbelievable. They were up 1-0, down 5-1, and got five runs in the top of the second inning and wound up winning the game 9-7. And talk about a lucky pitcher, Kyle Kendrick, couldn't get anybody out in that first inning and winds up as the winner in a 9-7 game. But I really think next week, especially right after the All-Star game, I think there's going to be a number of new players, position players on the Phillies, and I really think that Darren Ruff, now when he's recovering, he'll be in left field replacing Dominic Brown.
How about Hamill? You think they're going to trade Hamill?
I don't think they will. I really don't, but you never know. I mean, you know, they were on WIP the other day. They were taking a survey. If you got a great position player and a good prospect,
right,
for Hamill, would you make the deal? You know, and I think it was like 50-50, you know, the results.
And how about Papelbon, who's really bounced back and had a great year? There's got to be a lot of demand for him. The closers are hard to find.
You're exactly right, Don, and I think it's going to be who will accept the biggest portion of his contract, because he's got a big one. But now this kid, Ken Giles, you know, he gave up a home run the first man he faced, and he hasn't given up a run since. And his ERA is like 0.70. And got a tremendous – he's a 100-mile-an-hour fastball pitcher. He's 23 years old, and he also has an unhittable slider. So this is the guy that's the future. And I think that with that young bullpen – that's something you can really build around. You know, they just need guys that can hit the ball, and it drives me crazy when they got guys on base and they go for the first pitch. Work the pitcher. Work them. Make them throw more pitches.
Well, it's going to be interesting because I think Hamill's got some value, and, you know, I think the Phillies are probably going to have to take back, I'm going to say, somewhere in the area of 50%.
Yeah,
of that salary, depending on how good a trade they can make. Now, if they get, you know, a couple of number one draft choices from like last year or the year before, and from another team, and a player, you know, then they may not have to eat the what is it, $50 million he's still got coming, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, you're right. He's got a couple, I think, 2 or 3 years, 15 each. So it's like 45, 50.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Tonight's the Inquirer. They're talking about there's 9 teams looking at Hamels now. The top two are St. Louis and the Dodgers.
Well, the Dodgers really need a closer.
Yeah, and Utley says he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah,
well, I think he's got
retire,
it in his contract.
So.
I don't think they can trade Utley unless he agrees.
He's not going anywhere.
Right. He's a 10-5 too.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere because he's not going to agree to go anywhere.
Right. Right. That's,
Tommy,
that's the whole thing.
What about the new contract for the Lightning? It was announced today with what's the name coming down from New York?
Probably. You mean Ryan Callahan?
No, not Callahan. So you got $22 million for a 5-year contract.
Probably from one of that defensemen.
One of the guys from the Rangers.
Boyle, probably that defenseman.
Tommy was playing golf. You don't ask him questions like that. On the day the trades are made, ask him the next day. Entry goes back in it.
I know, but I think it was Boyle, Frank, that defenseman. I believe because he's got a good trade. Callahan's contract's 5 years for $22 million. And that was made last week. And then I got to give Stevie Y a lot of credit. He got rid of the favorite players, Teddy Purcell. He got rid of Nate Thompson, B.J. Cromley. And look at the people they got in return. I think another great hire the Lightning made was getting Jay Feaster to run the youth hockey right now. Now, Jay's got a lawyer. He was a lawyer background, and he's successful building the Lightning Architect for that 2004 Stanley Cup championship. Now, Stevie Y could go pick Jay Feaster's brain apart. It's another great piece of the puzzle that Mr. Vinnick added on right now. So I think it was great to see Jay Feaster back in a place where he should never have left, but the Cowboys ran him out, him and Torts out of town. It was terrible.
What's that do with Brian Bradley?
Frank, that's a great question. I don't know.
I mean, he was running the program,
Brian.
So that's my question. What happens to him now?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, and Jason Kelmer was up for that same position too. So that's a great question. I think Brian will still be involved with the hockey up there now for his teams up there. Jason Kelmer would be great on the broadcast with Matt Salmon doing post game. They're going to get involved in that way, basically, to see what happens from there. But Jay Feaster was a great find for the Lightning because he's got that lawyer's contract, negotiating contracts, and he was the architect for the Stanley Cup champion, and Stevie Y can pick his brain apart with everything like that. So he could be involved in youth hockey would be great.
Well, the Giants and A's are about an hour away from starting, and the Nats lead the Orioles 5-2,
ooh,
and they're at the top of the fifth inning. So the Orioles are having a little problem again tonight with the Nats scoring some runs.
You know, before we wrap up tonight, we got to have at least a minute on that lawsuit that guy that they showed on ESPN the other night asleep at the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's... He and his wife are so, and Dennis Miller's on with O'Reilly, and he's it's hilarious. I'm just seeing, you know, the closed caption.
Well, first of all, I don't know what the guy thinks he could sue for $10 million. I mean, Crocker and they put the whole scenario in the paper, in the New York Post yesterday of what they said, and they didn't say anything. I mean,
all they said
was he was sleeping.
Yeah. Wasn't interested in the game.
Yeah. I mean, what can you sue for $10 million for? I mean, they've shown people in the stands sleeping for 100 years. I mean.
Right.
And Crocker didn't even say anything negative. I mean, he did. I forget what he said now about interest or something, but they had it word for word in the New York Post yesterday, the whole scenario between the two. And to me, there was nothing said on a negative base at all, except he was asleep.
I see that. He was sleeping up. How many times do you do that in Eagles games or any baseball games? They're sleeping. I mean, they had a rough day. The game was bad. They paid the admission or you got tickets from the communists were sleeping up there. Happens many times there. Tropicana Field people are sleeping down here. You know?
Oh, not only that, I mean, up in the Rogers Dome, I mean, Sky Dome it used to be. I mean, they got the hotel there, and these people are in front of the windows.
Remember that?
Remember that? The act. Right on TV.
It was 50,000. Remember that game was 50,000 people, but the Jays were good up there. And the people left the window open. They forgot to close it. The game was kind of in there.
Well, they had to finally put a ban that they hit because they were, you know, mooning people and all kinds of stuff out of that hotel.
Oh,
and,
God.
I haven't seen any of it of late, but, I mean, they went through about a six-month period up there where they had a heck of a time with that hotel.
Oh, Don, Roger, Frank, I got to tell you a funny story about talking baseball right now. In the old days at Cleveland Stadium, used to sit in the press box, you'd put the windows up in the hangars up there. So the game was way out of control up there. The Indians were losing by a score of 8-1, bottom top of the eighth inning. So here is Ivan Calderon. He's on the on-deck circle, and I was watching him. I says, oh, my God, he's trying to pick out the girl in the front row. And I could hear him say, I'm staying at Bon Court Hotel, right? So when up to the next day, right? Hey, how was the date with that girl? Oh, she was very good, man. Very good. Baseball is very good.
Well, like, oh, mid-sixth inning now, Tommy. Your Cleveland Indians are tied 4-4 in the mid-sixth. Uh-oh.
I mean, is the drummer on yet?
I don't know. I don't have any sound on.
I thought it might be the drummer be on there.
No, they're just going around with the pictures of different stadiums and different scores. All I can do is see the scores. I can't see or hear anything.
Oh, okay. But it's so funny. How many people sleep in the old Cleveland Stadium that teams are so bad up there?
Oh. Tommy Mack Stadium, Tommy.
Right, Connie Mack Stadium. It's more an adventure getting up there than going to the game.
The thing I can't understand is, I mean, how do these people, you know, come up with an idea that you're going to sue for $10 million and nuisance suits? I mean, can you imagine these clubs and broadcasters? I mean, these nuisance suits, they had to just throw them out. I mean, they shouldn't even allow them to start having a suit over something like that.
Well,
exactly.
Frank will tell you that's the issue today with trial lawyers, right, Frank, with torts?
Yep.
You know, that's what they need to clean up, and that's one of the big things with Obamacare, you know?
Jeez, oh my. But why would these guys go to the game? If it's a bad game, you drink coffee or you leave the game. You don't be caught on camera sleeping, for God's sake.
Well, as they say, do what you want to do, but I mean, I can't imagine trying to put together a lawsuit against two broadcasters because somebody told you the night before or the night after that they had you on camera and they were kidding around about you sleeping. I mean, what in the world? To me, I'd be embarrassed. I mean, I wouldn't want to sue anybody.
I'd be so embarrassed. I spent $50 or $60 for a ticket and I fell asleep at the game.
Absolutely. That's true, too. I didn't even think of that.
They're probably out in the left field seats, you know, and they want to catch the people out there, so the guy would start sleeping out there. I mean, you catch them every time up there. But Don, my favorite thing is watch these fans go for foul balls. They dive in front of a $12 baseball where they could go down to Sporting Goods store, buy it, and save their hands and their body, but they dive and fall. They dive and fall everything up there and that.
Well, two things I've never understood. I never understood why, you know, people would do exactly what you're saying. Why would you dive for a baseball that you first of all, you're not 2 days later you're going to throw it away or give it to kids or something like that. Go buy them a ball. And the other thing is every time they put the camera on the fans, you'd think they were in about third grade. I mean, they jump up and down and wave. I mean, I can't imagine. What are they trying to do? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, what you're watching the game, just watch the game. Just because they got you on TV. Exactly. That makes sense.
You're exactly right, Don.
But Don, I like when there's nobody here at the top, right? And if alcohol starts kicking in, right? Yeah, you hear them out through a whole stadium up there and that, you know, oh, God, it's just, and the alcohol kicks in, but it's not good up here. But, yeah, I agree with you, Don. I mean, you pay the good money to see.
Because we don't play that much golf.
And the funny thing is, when they do fan photos, you know, at the Trop, I mean, what do you want to look at an empty seat? What is there?
That's right.
Well,
it's hard
media
to believe. 17 days, I think, till the NFL camps open, right?
Wow.
Yep.
I saw Roy Cummings. He's probably here tonight. He said he'll come on next week and that. But he starts saying, this is my first baseball game I've seen all year. I got 1 week off and the camp start up again. It says, oh, boy, you know. But he's up in the box covering a game for the Tampa Tribune, his second game. And nice talk with him last night. He said, give everybody my very best, and I'll be coming on next week for you, and that'd be great. You know?
Roy's great. Still 4-2?
4-2, yes. The bottom of the fifth, and there's a 2-2 to count, and there's one out up there. So there, I mean, this guy here is, you know, is a good pitcher for Kansas City, but made one mistake in one big inning, and the Rays took advantage of. Good teams take advantage of this. So everybody starts losing in this division, build up now, guys, but the Rays will pick up another game.
How about the crowd tonight? How is it?
I'm gonna say maybe 12,000 tonight. Mm. It's not that good, but you know they got a giveaway umbrella game for Friday night's tandem thing up there. And then you got a concert Sunday, and then a concert Saturday at 4:10, and Sunday at 1:40. You got the kids running the bases on St. Pete Family Fun Day. I think the thing to give it away, Don, Roger, and Frank. You know our Escobar basketball set. I don't know how he did it. Every time he makes a good shot, it's like Willie Montanez is a hot dog. He shoots a basket up there. So they're making a kid's basketball set to give to him up there. But I think Friday night's tandem pack, if you buy a ticket for Friday, you get a Rays umbrella. You know, that'd be good for Rays umbrella would be good. So that's up for the Trop this weekend. And we're off tomorrow. And then they got the Toronto comes into town wheeling in the city. The probables for Toronto, they don't have the probables yet, but Chris Archer is going Friday night, 4:10, Saturday afternoon, David Price, and then you got Jake Odorizzi. They finish out the first half of the year at Tropicana Field. So then they go to St. Louis, start off the second half of the year. So I'm optimist, and I hope Joe can get – I believe in Joe Maddon. We get this thing going.
Tick-tock.
Okay. Phillies Brewers are tied at one, bottom of third inning, one out.
Frank said, tick-tock. Roger.
Ignore it, Tommy.
You'll pull the plug.
We're going for three.
On next week's show, we're going to have on, try to go to Matt Joyce, Rick Vaughn, Westfield Estrada is coming on next week, so we'll talk 2 hours of baseball. I can't wait for that. And
great.
Rick will come on during his All-Star break and that, so I'll confirm that over them. But I'd like to thank our Philadelphia legend, Mr. Don Henderson. Enjoy the Jersey Shore, sir. And I'd like to thank our Atlanta legend, Mr. Roger Henlett. Roger, enjoy the hot weather in hot Atlanta. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on.
Appreciate it.
God bless Frank. Thank you very much. Another great job, Frank.
Yeah, have a great week. Take care, guys.
Guys, have a great week. Stay safe.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women in police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in a uniform, you have a chance to just say thank you. It means the world to everybody. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcat, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Kendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol. Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department. MIT Officer Sean Collier. Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office. Officer Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida PD. Florida Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-10 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your face. And the sun shine softly on your face and the winds. Rains fall softly on your field. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Amen.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ma hezah yelama, son ashen evorat fet, hakuig again ma yelama.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob. We love you and we miss you.